Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
A rise in attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, you'll know it as ADHD. The surge in the number of young children being diagnosed with ADHD is driving spiralling waiting lists for CAMHS. This is according to the Minister of State for Mental Health, Mary Butler. She actually cites one example where she visited a CAMHS team in Cork and said up to 70% of the referrals to that one team were all due to ADHD. So it begs the question, is ADHD being overdiagnosed in Ireland? Dr. Sarah Carthy is a GP at ADHD Doc. Sarah's with us here. Sarah, good afternoon. Can you just explain, first of all, Sarah, in your experience, is ADHD being accurately identified or misdiagnosed?
Hi, Andrea. Thank you so much for asking me to speak. It is being under-recognised, and there is a lot of evidence to say that it is under-recognised and under-diagnosed, actually. It doesn't surprise me that there is a growing recognition that ADHD now exists. It exists in girls and boys. That was something that wasn't properly understood. And now that there is increased recognition that ADHD presents differently in boys and girls often, and also presents in adults, there is a surge in people coming forward saying, you know, is this something that could apply to my child? Is this something that could apply to me? And that's a very good thing.
So you think it's not that it's overdiagnosed. Do you think it's actually underdiagnosed, Sarah?
It's not that I think it. This is what the evidence is telling us. So there is much more evidence to say that this condition is under-recognised and under-diagnosed. There have been many studies in the last number of years, particularly in January of this year. There was a very good study in the British Journal of Psychiatry looking at it was people of 18 and over who basically, you know, where it kept coming from, I think it was 792 different GP surgeries between the years of 2000 and 2019. And it showed that actually only one in nine of people had a diagnosis of ADHD. So it's completely underdiagnosed. And as I say, you know, that will be more obviously with children because the prevalence of ADHD in children is much more than in adults. So in adults, it's considered to be between 3 and 5%, but in children, it's more, it's 5 to 7%. So, you know, you can see that it is even more than in children.
Yeah. So when the Minister of State for Mental Health, Mary Butler, you know, cites these examples, and I just give listeners a flavour of them. She's talking about Cork. In one of the teams, 70% of the referrals were ADHD. In another team, 60% were ADHD. And then at a final team, 50% all diagnosed with ADHD. There should be no surprise then, Sarah, with this.
I think it was the number of referrals that the team were getting. So, in other words, there, you know, it's looking for an assessment for ADHD. I'm not in the slightest bit surprised. No, you know, we did not learn as doctors about ADHD. Certainly, in my training, I never learned about ADHD at all. So, I was working for a GP for over 20 years without really understanding ADHD at all. I didn't realise it could occur in adults, and the fact that ADHD can present, you know, as an inattentive subtype. So often, these are not the children that you would classically think about, who are, you know, very hyperactive, restless, disruptive in the class. Many, many females, for example, and males will present with an inattentive subtype where they are very much the daydreamer. They're quiet, they're withdrawn often. They're not always able to keep up in the classroom, but they're not disruptive. And so they're not coming forward with symptoms that might resonate with ADHD, but more with things like anxiety and depression, self-harming, OCD, and that's what it looks like. And often, of course, you know, we know that ADHD rarely travels alone. So often you will have anxiety with ADHD, but actually ADHD is the is the reason for the anxiety. And because people are getting to understand that now, and they're saying, well, actually, hang on a second. This is actually more a picture like ADHD rather than a generalized anxiety disorder. That's why the assessment that I need is for ADHD. Yeah.
So when like people are referred, Sarah, to CAMHS, to the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services for a host of different reasons, I wonder then, is referring people for the assessment for ADHD to CAMHS, is that the right route then?
Absolutely. I mean, I suppose it's the only route publicly at the moment. Of course, people can, if they're lucky enough, they can have a private assessment with a psychologist. And of course, an assessment can be done by a psychologist and other people who are trained in this. But, it is important to note that for ADHD, medication can be helpful. So therefore, it's hard if you get a private diagnosis, but then you've nowhere to go. So with CAMHS, there are psychiatrists who, if they are trained in the area, could possibly, discuss medication. Now, obviously, it's always skills and pills. It's not just medication, but people know that medication can be very helpful for ADHD, and particularly during the school years. So, it's not at all surprising. It is absolutely, if it is considered, and GPs are becoming much more aware about ADHD now, and they are also able to discuss that often with a person. And so they may be writing the referral and saying, actually, hang on a second here, this anxiety or this self-harming or this presentation could likely be underpinned by ADHD. Could we please ask you to do an assessment for that?
Assessment for that.
So, Minister Butler's statement is, is this a trend, which,
a new
really
trend,
the hair stand on the back of my neck. It's more about, and that previously it was anxiety, depression. It's just that we are recognising ADHD.
It's greater awareness, isn't there?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Stay with me, Sarah, if you don't mind, for a few moments. Quite a few listeners getting in touch here. I'll come to those texts in a moment. Paddy Fagan is on the line. Paddy's the owner of Marlow and Me Cafe. Paddy, what's your experience with getting an ADHD diagnosis?
Hi, Andrea. Thanks for giving us the opportunity to talk. Yeah, I'm good. Thanks. It was incredibly difficult, but like so much of what the doctor was talking about there is just my story. I have the inattentive subtype. I wasn't disruptive in class. I was definitely that daydreamer type. I couldn't focus. I couldn't keep up with schoolwork. Like, school was just torture for me for all the time I was there. I was misdiagnosed, or maybe, I spent about 20 years going to the doctor for, depression and anxiety and being treated. And it took me a while. It was a friend got an ADHD diagnosis, and this is probably what's playing out across, the country. A friend of mine got an ADHD diagnosis, and we started speaking about it, and I was unaware of this, inattentive type of ADHD. And everything just started clicking into place for me. And this is, 22, 23 years after realizing, I need to, after first investigating myself, what was going on with my mental health, And I just recognized so many things in the conversation that I was having with him. And I went to my doctor, and she was very, very helpful and very, very genned up on the subject, because she does a lot of work with children as well. I think that's kind of her speciality at her core. And, she put me on the track then to a diagnosis and treatment. And there's, a whole lot of other things that go with that that help, like meditation and counseling and various other things. But, I totally agree with what the doctor is saying there. It's underdiagnosed, if anything.
And rather than over.
I do imagine the minister going to a place and CAMHS, which we all know is totally overrun and understaffed, And if they're going to quibble about something, I would totally understand them saying, you know, 50, 70% of our queries are for this, because it is so prevalent and it has been previously so underdiagnosed. And, you know, maybe we need to look at, you know, taking better care of CAMHS. Maybe, you know,
well, that's why, yeah, I was asking
you know, the health of our people, you know.
That's why I was asking the question of Sarah Carthy about, you know, whether it is the right route, given that there's so many issues with CAMHS around staffing, long and lengthy waiting lists. You know, the fact that it's effectively a lottery as to when you're going to get seen, depending on what part of the country you live in. But for you, Paddy, in your experience, getting that diagnosis, irrespective of the age you got it at, you see the benefit of it.
Oh my God, yeah. Like, it's changed my life, you know. Like it's not like a light switch, you know, like people talk about, oh, you just kind of, you know, with the medication, like first off, the medication, if that's the route for you, it's certainly does help straight away, but there's much more to it. Like, you know, I mean, this idea of the trend, you know, I think she tried to backtrack on what she said, you know, by calling it a trend, but it's obviously something that's going around. And it's something else you have to deal with is like the, you know, stigma attached to conditions. And a minister for mental health should, you know, probably, you know, be mindful of using the word trend in anything like this, you know, because there's so many people who've gone through their life, like it's debilitating. It's a debilitating condition. Like there's things you want to do. And sometimes the more you want to do them, your brain resists you doing them, you know, like mandatory things you need to do to get your life in order. And then you don't do them. And then the shame builds on that. And there is a shame attached to this condition. Okay. And, you know, there's a regret looking back on your life as well. Like there's a grief, you know, that people have for the life that they could have had if they could study properly in college. That's my own personal bugbear, you know?
Yeah. And, no, it's a fair point.
You know, like, let's be more sensitive and let's be more caring, and let's not just throw around terms just because the funding isn't there to do CAMHS properly in this country, you know?
So, Paddy, thank you, by the way, for sharing your story and your experience with us. I just want to bring in, I have another Sarah on the line too, Sarah Kelly. Sarah's from Speakeasy Speech and Language Therapy, or she's a speech and language therapist, I should say. Sarah, how much of what you're dealing with is now an ADHD diagnosis?
Yeah, thanks, Andrea. So we don't actually make that, we don't diagnose in the clinic, but what we will do is recommend on referral for autism, ADHD. You know, it's what we're seeing is increased awareness of these now, and it's not that they're overdiagnosed. That increased awareness means we have better supports for children. We understand them better. And also that positive impact for them on their mental health. Like Paddy was saying, you know, there's a grievance there. He's gone through his whole childhood thinking, why can't I concentrate in class? Why can't I study? Why can't I achieve? Thinking something wrong. And then that impact on his mental health. You know, those, we have lots of parents in the clinic, and when their child gets a diagnosis of autism or ADHD or anything like that, they will often recognize things and characteristics in them that's similar, and they will go on and get their own diagnosis. So in, for me personally and professionally in the clinic, what we're seeing is increased awareness and understanding of these.
And that's, so back to what Sarah Carthy said at the outset, surprise really in the fact that there's so many more people now waiting for a diagnosis or having been diagnosed.
Yes. And what I will say as well about the ADHD assessment, it's an incredibly comprehensive assessment. To say that, you know, we're overdiagnosing children, you know, they look at them in their school environment, they bring them into the clinic, parents complete questionnaires, the school complete questionnaires, it has to be present for so long. It's an incredibly comprehensive assessment. So it's not given out willy-nilly to say that we're overdiagnosing.
I'm really interested in text here. You might be able to answer, Sarah. Paul has got in touch. He says, I tried to get my son assessed for ADHD with CAMHS. We got a letter back saying that he doesn't have ADHD. They didn't even meet him.
I know. And that's the most frustrating thing. There are different criteria they're looking at because there's different areas they need to be having difficulty in to warrant an assessment. I suppose one of those things is it has to be presenting for a certain amount of time. They have to be over six. I think Dr. Sarah will be better placed to answer some of those questions because I'm obviously not a part of the assessment process. But honestly, getting into these services, there are such stringent protocol in place. And it's so difficult, as you said, it's like a postcode lottery. And they're just saying, oh, you need to go for an assessment of need, or they're sending you elsewhere. And this is why parents are having to access it privately, which is not a solution, because of course, yeah, it's an expensive process.
Yeah, well,
to
actually,
funny. Privately.
Yeah, a few texts in on that. People, one listener telling me about €400 for a private assessment. Others quoting other figures too. This listener says, "I'm 54. I'm a male. I was diagnosed with ADHD about a year and a half ago. I was quite unimpressed by the approach of the medical system. At my own GP practice, I was shocked at how out of date the older doctor's knowledge was. Luckily for me, though, one of the younger doctors sent me for referral. It was a lengthy and expensive process getting the diagnosis, but it was life changing. In a positive way. The adult services within the HSE were totally inadequate." Perhaps, Sarah Carthy, maybe just on a final word to you for parents listening today that are maybe, you know, waiting on those referrals. So what's your advice to them?
Yeah, waiting on the referral. You know, there is a lot actually that you can do yourself by reading and learning about ADHD, because, you know, once you recognize ADHD and once you start to see how your brain works, people with ADHD have an interest-based nervous system, not an importance-based nervous system. So even knowing how it works, so people with ADHD are motivated by things that are interesting or challenging or urgent. And these are all parenting skills that we can use for our children in the meantime. Reading books. ADHD Ireland is a wonderful organisation as well, which gives great support to parents. They have parenting support groups. They have a great phone line. And they are there as well to give, you know, great advice. But there are fantastic resources out there, educational resources, books, as I say, and ADHD Ireland. So there is, and I think for parents to know that there is a kind of a positive parenting approach if you have children with ADHD. So having very strict rules around things and a lot of you know, criticism. We know that children with ADHD grow up with 20,000 pieces more of negative feedback than a child that doesn't have ADHD.
Wow.
You know, and that is very, very damaging, obviously, for the child. So, you know, by being their biggest advocate, your child's biggest advocate, by kind of working to their strengths, by always praising them for the things that they do really well, you will get so much more out of your ADHD child, you know. So there is a lot that you can do. And sometimes that doesn't fit in with your traditional idea of parenting, maybe, but you won't get anywhere with that type.
Yeah. Okay.
So that immediately can make a huge difference.
Okay. Interesting text from a listener who says, "My son is waiting 2.5 years for CAMHS. He's about to go to secondary school. I'm really worried that he won't be seen before then. I can't afford to go privately. He is really aware that he's different sometimes to his peers, and I now worry about his mental health as he moves into the teenage years. CAMHS do great work, but they're so underfunded and staffed. My niece went through the service and was bumped around for years," says this texter. The email, lunchtimelive@newstalk.com, if you want to share your story. Thanks a million, Dr. Sarah Carthy there, who's a GP at ADHD Doc. Sarah Kelly, speakeasy speech and language therapist. And Paddy Fake. And Paddy, thanks a million for sharing your story with us.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on Newstalk.